Say, Lord Jesus, I rejoice because I have ears to hear and eyes to see what your Holy Spirit is about to reveal to me. Amen? We're going to be going to 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to try to give you an understanding of this confirming word that now has been pushed down your throat. How many know sometimes you have to have something shoved down for you to finally wake up so that you'll be fully aware? Now, the Lord has used this scripture before, because I've got some notes on it, but you know, sometimes it needs to be pounded in and reminded. It's like going to a fancy restaurant, having a delicious meal, and about 2 years later, you decide to go back. And you're going to double check because obviously it was good the first time, but sometimes it's even better the second time. Amen? Because it's, let's say, meeting your expectations. I'm going to give you 1 Peter 5:10 in the Amplified first. So 1 Peter 5:10, Amplification. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessings and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus. And if you don't have an Amplified, I would definitely say make a note. Will himself complete and make you what you ought to be. Established and ground you securely and strengthen and settle you. Now, I don't know how much clearer it can be to let you know that he's on the job and he's going to stay on the job and he's going to do a work that you could never do because your brains are too skinny. I don't care how heavily you educate yourself. I don't care how many degrees you have. You don't have the degree of the Lord until you get his Spirit. And he starts a work in you that you cannot comprehend. No matter how hard you try with your brain, it's not going to happen. Your energy levels, your physical abilities and attractiveness will disintegrate as you grow older. Amen. It is designed by God for you to rely on him more and more and more. Now this time I want you to close your eyes. I don't want you to be looking at your Bible. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to declare with me. After I have suffered,
a little while,
and the God of all grace, who imparts all blessings, and who imparts all favor, who has called me to his own, eternal glory. That's everlasting glory. It doesn't have an end. In Christ Jesus. Will himself complete me and make me what I ought to be. Established and grounded. Securely. And strengthen. And settle me. For his own purpose. In case I forgot, he's my papa. He's got an awesome schedule to make me something that I've never thought of. Because he's out of the box. He's not a natural father. He's a Holy Ghost. Spirit-filled. Father. Like Jesus. He's got a plan. And it's a lot bigger than me.
And it's a lot bigger than me.
Now, how many of you felt a stirring as you were declaring that this morning? Put your hand up if you felt a stirring. Why would it stir within you to allow the Father to ultimately get you to the finish line of what you're to become? Remember Henry Ford, at the turn of the other century, had a revolutionary idea. He took some tracks that were accustomed to use for railroads, and he began to put that in a factory, which didn't make sense, and he built something that had never been built before on a set of tracks. And it revolutionized the 19th century. Just one man with an idea that came from who? Yeah. Was there tracks before? Sure. There were tracks before. Who gave him the bright idea to put it inside a building? That's right. You know, God doesn't always use people who have a knowledge of God or are religious, because they're so religious, there's no human value to them. They're all wound up about doing a certain type of thing that tradition says is godly. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, God uses a man that was an industrialist, and all of a sudden, he's putting horses out of commission. What a gift to the cities of the United States of America. No more poop on the streets. You laugh. All right? The germs and all the dirt and all the stuff and all of Europe, Western nations, were transformed by one man putting a track inside a building. Can it be done again? Yeah. Could he use you? Oh, well, I ain't got that kind of brains. I ain't got that education. You got the Holy Ghost. Which is greater? Yeah, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is greater because Jesus rose from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. You know why? Because I want you to see something. I'm trying to get you off of your high horse and put you on a Holy Ghost horse. I said to the Lord this morning, use my mouth, do what you want with this message, because I knew he wanted me to concentrate on the God of all grace. Amen? Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For those whom he foreknew and of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his Son, and to share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. Notice, he justified, not your job. So get off the case. You might make a mess. He also justified, acquitted, and made righteous, putting them into right standing with himself. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. What then shall we say? All this. If God be for us, Who can be against us? When you and I limit ourselves by our confessions, what happens? Well, I can't really do this. I'm not that important. Oh, I can't be anything of value because, after all, look at my background. My Heavenly Father can't be using me because my earthly father rejected me. He gave me away 3 times. So my half-brother picked up the ball and brought me up. After all, they brought up 20. You don't think they could handle 21? They did. They got a lot of help from the Lord. 20. Yeah. And my oldest sister, who's 91, said to me that the entire time that my mother carried me, there was an intense attack on her body because she had varicose veins so bad in her lower sections and her legs that she recalls her weeping every single day because of the pains of carrying me. And she carried me to the finish line. She was 45 years old. It wasn't supposed to have another pregnancy. But God had a plan. You say, well, why are you stretching it about yourself? Your parents may have had an encounter, and you're the byproduct of that encounter. Come on now. Let's be honest.
I'm sure I am.
Okay? It may not have been a plan. I wasn't a plan. I was an incident. I was an incident in a fraction of a moment where God deposited my father's seed and it connected with my mother. And they didn't have a great idea about one more kid. But God did. My uncle, who I am named after, rejected me the first time he saw my mother in her pregnancy. He didn't believe her. He laughed at her. She can't be pregnant. And laughed at her, and she felt rejected. So your background may not be perfect, but it's designed by God to make you into what he needs in this earth at this moment and in this time. Notice that it's the fulfillment that he's looking for. 1 Peter again, 5:10, NIV. And the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong. Where is he going to restore you? It's the inside of us with the woundedness that we've carried. He's going to restore. With what kind of power? With the Father's power, the Heavenly Father's power, that he's at work in us, making us into what he's called us to become, and we will manifest that same Christ Jesus in this earth through his grace and favor. It's not something that you can accomplish on your own. All you have to do, and I have to do, is to keep releasing myself back to him. Because I have a tendency to pick myself up and do to make things happen.
Amen.
And I've learned this past week how selfish, how motivated I am to accomplish what I have perceived as God. Now, none of you ever had that problem, so I'm keeping you off the chart. But I am saying we have a tendency with an agenda that has been placed in us from the time we were kids. Tie your own shoes. Get moving. It's getting late. Mm-hmm. Do this. Do that. Do it now. Don't wait till tomorrow because tomorrow is going to be too late. So we activate out of emotional pressure. And I'm not blaming.
claiming any of that. I'm not trying to say character is wrong. Character is a good gift. But it should be lined up by the Holy Ghost. I'm not trying to say that self-reliance is something bad, but there's a higher order. There's something greater going on inside of his creation, namely his people. And that creation is crying out for the eternal to come to life in us. It's very clear. The second part says, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. He will make me strong, firm, and steadfast. He will make me strong, firm, and steadfast. And the church, when I say that, I say the average religious church lays guilt, condemnation and fault-finding on the people who cannot perform to make them match what they perceive that they should be or should become. I've learned years ago that the baptism that I received when I went into that water was to come out with my plans in the water and remain there, and his plan to come to life when I come out of the water. I went in and I was baptized, and when I remember coming out, saying to the Lord, whatever you want, Lord, however you want it done, it's okay. Several months later, my mother says to me, she was over 80, by the way. No, late 70s. I want to be baptized. And I said, Mom, if I got excommunicated, are you sure you want that? And she says, I don't care what people say. I know what I've heard in my heart. And I know that they advertise that there's going to be a baptism soon, and I want to be a part of it. So I said, okay. She had one concern. Can I wear a hat that will allow my hair to remain in order? I said, Mom, you can put on whatever you want. You go in that water, whatever comes out will be fine. So notice, I mean, she's 70-something, and I still have pictures of it, and she's got her little plastic hat over her head. And when she came out of the water, a couple of my friends took pictures of her, and I still have them. They actually enlarged one of them. And nobody in her family knew. And they gave me some of those pictures, and I put them aside, and I said, Lord, am I supposed to advertise this? He says, not yet. Because she wouldn't have been able to handle the rejection from some of her family members. Why am I saying that? Because baptism is a gift from God. You enter the water one way, you come out different. And I know that that's going to be happening soon here. So that's why I'm mentioning it. God has a plan to change you. He has a plan to heal and set you free. He has a plan to what? Restore and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. One more time, close your eyes. Say, God has a plan.
God has a plan.
To restore me.
To restore me.
To make me strong.
To make me strong.
To make me firm.
And steadfast
for his ultimate purpose for my life.
For his ultimate purpose for my
life. It's an eternal purpose.
And it's an eternal purpose.
It's not limited to 50 or 80, 90 years.
It's not limited to 50, 80, 90.
It's an eternal life.
It's eternal life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
I think you need to remember from those words, it's simple, but it's not all about you trying to perform. It's about you receiving his plan and his ways into you so that you can grow and go a little higher. Amen? I also want to tell you that I believe all of the messages from the feast are on the website. And we've had a few people that have already gone, so I know that they've tested some of them. Just be obedient as the Lord leads you. And it's time to pray for the goodies back there. I see a sweet, 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 sweet things. Father, bless those sweet things and bless the food that you've prepared for us. In Jesus' name, and enjoy the fellowship.